This episode of UMES 30 contains frank language about HIV, AIDS, and sexuality, which may not be suitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Wake up! Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You are now listening to UMES 30. I'm your host, Dr. Joshua K. Wright. I realize that you could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're here listening to me, and I sincerely appreciate that. UMES 30 is a talk show bringing you lively, thought-provoking discussion on a variety of topics. Each show will feature an extended conversation with a guest. While many of these individuals will come from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and the local community, I will also feature several guests from around the country. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of 91.3 WESM or the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. 2 days before Thanksgiving 2016, Maria Davis was riding around New York with a vehicle full of groceries, delivering 60 turkeys, macaroni and cheese, vegetables, dinner rolls, and apple pies to needy families in Harlem and the Bronx. Ms. Davis, a former hip-hop music promoter who has influenced the early careers of Sean Diddy Combs, 50 Cent, Jay-Z, among others, is best known today as one of the nation's leading HIV/AIDS awareness activists. She's featured in Essence Magazine's number one national best-selling book, Souls of My Sisters. She's very active in New York as well as around the country. She speaks at schools all across the nation. And she is with us this morning. And this is really a treat for me. We know each other from back in the day. So, Ms. Davis, thank you so very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me, though, this Thanksgiving outreach, is this an annual tradition for you?
Absolutely, it's an annual tradition. I've been doing it for about maybe 15 years now.
Mm.
So I started because, you know, I'm an AIDS survivor of 20. This year makes my 20th anniversary. But 15 years ago, as a client, I would go to down to the center, and my social worker shared with me. I said, "We don't give turkeys. They don't give turkeys out." And she says, "No, you know, we don't have the budget." So we started with 8 turkeys, and now we're up to 60. We make sure they don't only have a turkey. The family just have a turkey, but all of this trimmings that go with it.
Wow, that's amazing. That's beautiful work. Do you actually get to see the food being given to the families? Do you get to meet the families and interact with them at all? Okay.
I take it to them.
Okay.
Wherever we give them out, I'm there.
So, Ms. Davis, as you mentioned earlier, you are an AIDS survivor. So you have a very powerful story. Can you kind of just share that briefly to our listeners?
Well, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, and I found it in another country with another man. That's the tail end of it.
Okay.
So, you know, low self-esteem had a lot to play with me protecting myself, because I don't blame it on the gentleman. I blame it on myself, because his responsibility is not my protection. My protection is my own responsibility. And so, I thought I was in love. I was going to move out of the States, you know, to another country, and just really fooled myself, lied to myself, because I thought it was another country that men act differently.
Hmm.
People act the same no matter what country you're in.
Right.
If they have bad behavior, they have bad behavior.
How old were you at the time?
So I was maybe like 32.
And then you live with HIV for a while, and then you eventually found out that you had AIDS, though, correct?
Right. So, I want people to be clear. You don't contract AIDS. You contract HIV, which breaks down the immune system that causes AIDS. So for you to be diagnosed with AIDS clinically, you have to have under 200 T cells and or you had opportunistic infections. And there's 26 of them. So I've had PCP pneumonia, and it's a pneumonia that only people with AIDS get. And I've had MAC, Mycobacterium avium complex, which is in the food, is in air, it's on fruit. But because my immune system was very compromised and I had 3 T cells, so I was very sick. But I'm good now. And undetectable, that's the new campaign. Undetectable means untransmittable. So my T cells are under a certain amount of copies. I go to my doctor every 3 months, regularly testing, making sure I stay up on my health. And you can't detect HIV in my system.
As long as you're taking your medicine and, you know,
as long as I'm taking
exercise.
My medication, right, proper exercise, living right.
So when you first received the diagnosis, what was that like for you in those initial years?
Well, and, you know, I was diagnosed in 1995, so the stigma was still very strong and heavy. And when I was diagnosed, there was no medication. The only medication there was a failed cancer treatment that a lot of people took, and I didn't want to take it. You know, when people, there were whispers because I was losing so much weight. So there were whispers that was going around the music industry, like Maria was strung out on drugs. You know, nobody ever thought to ask me, listen, Maria, we see that, you know, your health is being compromised right now. You might not want to tell me your business, but is there anything I could do for you? And nobody ever did that. Well, none of the outsiders did it, but my close friends did it. And, you know, you don't have many of those.
When people did learn, were they still supportive, or did you have friends and family who kind of turned their backs on you?
Well, some people were very uncomfortable, but I helped make them uncomfortable to become uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to get uncomfortable so that we can learn something. So it was an uncomfortable conversation for me to have with several people. You know, at that time I was kind of angry at people, but one of my friends said it to me very simply. She said, Maria, people don't want to see you die. So when you don't want somebody that you care about to die, you move away. You try to ignore it. But I didn't let people ignore it because of the stigma that I experienced. I didn't want anybody else to experience that same stigma. Because we're talking about HIV and AIDS, but African Americans have the leading numbers in all health disparities, not only HIV and AIDS. We don't trust the medical system, and I understand that, but you got to go to the doctor. That makes absolutely no sense. Because you are still the captain of your ship. Once the doctor diagnoses you with something, you still can go and get two and three other opinions. But you have to go to the doctor and take care of yourself. Because not knowing will kill you even faster.
You know, according to the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, it says African Americans account for a higher proportion of new HIV cases. In comparison to other races and other ethnicities, it said in 2017, African Americans accounted for 13% of the U.S. population, but 43% of the new HIV diagnosis
Absolutely.
In the United States. So, like, why are these numbers so high?
You can't just look at the numbers. Okay. You have to look at our people in the state that we're in right now. We don't take care of ourselves. We're still suffering from post-slavery, lack of jobs, racism. All the isms affect a person's decision making. And if you're not supported by a family that educates you, we have to learn to break these cycles. If I didn't go to school, I clearly want my children to go to school. And it also causes us not to make the best choices. And you have to also look at how much HIV is in your zip code or in the area that you live. Because if you're dating in that area, you're more susceptible. Your chances are higher of getting HIV than a community that does not have a lot of HIV in it. And where there's poverty, you will find HIV. Although I'm an HIV activist, I still educate myself on everything. You know, at my church, I'm one of the ministry leaders at First Corinthian Baptist Church in Harlem. I have the mammogram van that comes out 5 times a year. I collaborate with other community-based organizations.
You mentioned your church. How important has your faith or your spirituality been in terms of you, living with HIV and then later living with AIDS?
If I didn't have my faith, I probably still wouldn't be living.
Were there any moments, though, when you questioned God as to, like, you know, well, why me?
I don't want to say I question him. I'm going to say more depression for myself because God didn't make the choice to sleep unprotected. Okay. I'm clear with that. Okay. It's me that made the choice. So I can't blame God for a choice that I made. Right. But I'm just thankful that God was there to hold my hand.
So obviously your faith is very important to you, taking proper medicine, seeing your doctor. And I know that over the years you have been very, very active. You competed in 3 New York City marathons. This past year, you did a 6.5-mile AIDS walk as well in New York City. Talk a little bit about these, you know, marathons and these different physical activities that you've been involved in.
Well, you know, even if you don't have HIV, you should be exercising. Mm-hmm. Obesity is like crazy amongst the African Americans because we like sugar, we like salt, we like it fried, we like it hard. And those are not the healthier choices. We can't continue to eat like that anymore. because I don't know if you've been watching, but we have more cancer amongst African Americans than we ever had before. Before, when you heard cancer, you thought about somebody's grandmother, something like that. She done lived her life, and now she has cancer. Yeah, you know how many young people that have died that I know of died of cancer? So it's the eating, it's our stress factors. Exercise, it is so very important when you're under a lot of stress. I live in New York City, honey. That's stress by itself. Just name New York City stress. So how do you release the stress? And that's what we have to focus on. And I have to tell, you know, I tell my young people, focus on that now, because if you get in the habit of it now, it'll take on a whole nother intervention as you become older. Because as you become older, you're fighting arthritis, you know, all of those things that happen when you age. So if you start exercising now, as you age, it will help you keep your body structure, because we lose a lot of body mass when we become older. So if you're working on it and you're developing it now and as you're young, this will stick with you as you become older. So exercising is very important.
What are some of the biggest myths about HIV and AIDS?
I'm going to tell you the biggest myth, I can't get it. And what I mean when I say that is people look at a certain type of people to get HIV. You're gay, you're sexually promiscuous, you're a lady of the night. HIV don't care about how much money you have, does not care about your color, it does not care about anything, your status, if you got a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD. HIV is a virus, and it will get you. All it takes is one time. So that's the biggest myth, and we need to make sure we get tested. Because I'm out in the street encouraging people to get testing, because we do testing in my church also. I do testing at Mad Wednesdays in the club where I showcase artists. We do testing in there too. You need to be, if you've been sexually active, you need, that should be your yearly, part of your yearly exam, an HIV test.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to UMES30. Today's guest is HIV AIDS awareness activist and survivor, Maria Davis. So, Ms. Davis, you know, you were saying that you were diagnosed back in 1995. I believe about, I want to say 3 years before then, 91 or 92, Magic Johnson has his famous announcement, the press conference, where he retires from the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team because of HIV. And the world was much different then. ESPN did a good documentary about that whole experience for him and how most people at the time thought that he was going to be dead within the next few years. And now, you know, we see Magic and he's, you know, looks healthier than ever. And all we could think about is how bad of a job he did with the Lakers, you know, but not so much his health. Right. So my question is, has he had a good impact in terms of reshaping the way people view the illness?
Well, I'm going to say he did us a great justice, but he also did us a great disservice, because he doesn't talk about it at all. Now, nobody really talks about HIV and AIDS. It's very sad, because prevention is the key. Yes, we know abstinence does not work for everybody, but it does work. Yes, we know that our young people is different from when we were growing up. But guess what? You have to find out, when you're dating a young man or a young woman or you're same sex, whatever it is, you need to, like, really get to know people, like courting. I said, when my grandmother and grandfather was coming up, they, you know, you had to court. And that courting means getting to know someone. But we live in the Instagram age now. We're in the Instagram generation. Everything is instant. Women want to be equal to men. Oh, yeah, I can have many dudes as I want, and it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. Women emotionally channel differently than men. And so what it does is, Magic doesn't talk about it. Nobody talks about HIV and AIDS. So people don't hear those messages anymore. So because the message is gone, people think it's gone away. And HIV is still loud and proud, honey.
And speaking of getting that message out, you know, you've definitely done your part to be an advocate. You know, we talked about some of the work you've done. You've appeared in various media platforms. I remember a few years ago, you were on the show The Ink, the reality show on VH1.
Yeah, Black Ink.
Yeah, Black Ink Crew. I remember you were on there. And
Duchess gave me an AIDS ribbon tattoo.
Okay. So, you know, you've definitely been out. And we met Believe it or not, it's been about 10 years now, I think, when we met, and I was a student at Howard University in Washington,
yes.
D.C., HU.
Yes, you were.
And at the time, I was hosting these annual hip-hop conferences in the spring. So each year, we would have a different theme, and we would bring in, you know, guests from the community, from the music industry, et cetera. So the theme that particular year was HIV/AIDS awareness and how hip-hop could be used to promote it to young people, college age and high school kids. And you were one of our panelists along with Harlem rapper Jim Jones. We had R&B singer Maya, former Washington Redskins running back Clinton Portis. And since then, you know, I've left Howard and I've become a professor at UMES, and you've come out here and you've spoken a few times to my students here in Princess Anne. And then I think we did something on Skype not too long ago as well.
Yes, we did. Sure did.
Yeah, and you've been great connecting with some of my different students over the years as well. Why is it so important for you to educate young people? And for the most part, how did the young people receive this information that you're giving them?
It's important to educate our young people because they're our future. And we have to pass the baton. We have to give them the baton of knowledge, the baton of empowerment, self-esteem, letting them know how powerful and great they are and that we come from a great nation. You know, stop believing all that stuff you see, you know, on TV that we're negative people. We're very powerful people. That's why everybody's trying to be like us. They want their hair like ours. They want full lips. But we have not embraced ourselves. And that's the sad part of it. And young people receive me well because, you know, I tell it like it is. I don't play no games. I don't come up in there crying, victim, woe is me. That's not what they need to hear. They need to hear the reality of it. And the reality is I made a bad choice. Thank God for God's grace and mercy that I'm still here. I'll be 60 this year. When I was diagnosed, I was 35. A mother with two children, afraid to tell my children, thinking I'm going to die and then I'm not going to see them go graduate out of high school and go to college. I wouldn't see my grandkids. I have two now. You pray, but you still got to do the work. Faith without works is dead. I can't pray to God and say, God, save me. I have to say, God is I'm waiting on God, and God is waiting on me to make my own decision. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to live better? How am I going to do better?
And speaking of living better and doing better, one of the activities I remember that you did with the students when you came to visit, there was I guess it might have been a magazine issue that Vibe put out, and it talked about...
Remember that? Not still.
Right.
Yes.
The different women, I guess, that slept with Lil Wayne. Was that what it was?
No, remember, one page was Lil Wayne.
Okay.
He was the main tree, and then Kareem Stephens.
Oh, right. Okay, the video
was on the
model.
Other page. Right.
Okay.
And she was the plant.
Oh, okay.
And then all of the branches of all the different people that slept with them.
Right.
And remember when I pulled it out, everybody was like, "What?" They had everybody on there. They had Missy Elliott, Bow Wow. They had everybody, Beyonce, everybody, wow. Jay-Z, Dame Dash, everybody, Aaliyah. Everybody was on those two trees.
Right, right.
But the header of the tree was Lil Wayne and Kareem Stephens.
Right, right. And what was the main takeaway from doing that exercise with the students? What did you want them to really get from that activity?
Yeah, when you don't protect yourself, you're sleeping with everybody else that those people slept with. So if I'm sleeping with you unprotected, and you sleeping with five other people unprotected, then everybody you done slept with, I'm sleeping with too.
Yeah.
And that's how the virus spreads.
And definitely, you know, we don't want to beat up the artists and the music too much. We do get that idea, though, from some of the songs where this seems like sex is just, you know, something you could just do casually and there are no real consequences that come with it. So it is important that you speak to young people and that you're doing activities like that to kind of, you know, make them aware that, like you said, they're not invincible.
And you know, it's so funny. I was at a women's conference and they were talking about girls getting herpes in the mouth. Like some of the younger our young girls are like, "Oh, I'm not having sex vaginally." But you getting diseases in your mouth. That's a part of your body too. And people don't think, they think, "Oh, because I'm not being penetrated," that yes, you still can get sick. The STD is just being in your mouth, which goes through your bloodstream to your body.
Ms. Davis, what's the best way for people to educate themselves? So there are like certain websites that you would recommend that they go to read up?
You can go to the, I think it's AIDS.org website. Then you have the Black AIDS Institute. Or you could just Google HIV and AIDS, and it'll bring up everything you need to know. You can Google herpes. You can Google hepatitis C, and it will tell you how you can contract all of these different illnesses. The one thing about these diseases are they're life-altering, and that's an uncomfortable thing. It's not easy when I meet a guy and I like him, and then I have to say to him, I'm living with AIDS. I'm an AIDS survivor. Because nine out of 10, he's going to be saying, you cute, but see ya. But I'm not saying don't enjoy yourself, because life is to be lived. I'm living my best life. I enjoy life. Please, I don't want the audience to think, oh, I have AIDS. No, I look good. I smell good. I get dressed. I go out and I feel good about myself. AIDS is not my identity. It doesn't define who I am. It doesn't define my life.
What is this? Because they show these commercials now for some type of HIV PrEP or something. Like, what is that?
It's a pill called Truvada. Truvada is an HIV regimen for people that are HIV positive. They're promoting it for people to take so they don't get HIV. So they have not penetrated the African-American community yet. So the gay white community is taking PrEP. The Caucasian women are taking PrEP. But Black women, men who have sex with men, straight men, Black people, we're not, of course, because of the Tuskegee experiment, we don't trust the medical world. And that's what I talked about earlier. Yeah, don't trust them, but still go to the doctor. And you can still ask questions. And you can still be a part of whatever your treatment plan is. But I don't believe that somebody that's HIV negative, that has nothing wrong with them, should take this blue pill.
Ms. Davis, there is a picture of you. You actually sent it to me, and it's you in this stunning red dress, and you are standing at a podium next to the iconic and recently inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Miss Janet, if you're nasty, Jackson, Janet Jackson. Mm-hmm. So what was that about? What was going on in that instance?
Well, I am what they call the ambassador, the HIV/AIDS ambassador for AMFAR, which is American Foundation for AIDS Research, and they have raised a lot of money, and I've been working with them for like several years, and they have this gala every year that they raise money for HIV AIDS research, and all the celebrities come out. So they were giving the award to Janet Jackson, so they asked Janet, would pick somebody you would like to give you your award, and she picked me. And so I had the opportunity to meet her. Everybody else was off limits. But I was in her room, talked to her and everything, and I thanked her for all the work, because she's a big HIV advocate, too.
Okay.
And so I thanked her for all the work that she did. Beautiful spirit.
Back in the day, you worked with some of the biggest hip-hop stars before they became household names, people like Sean Diddy Combs, 50 Cent. You were actually featured on the song 22 Twos, which is on Jay-Z's debut album, Reasonable Doubt.
Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah, Reasonable Doubt from 1996. I heard Jay-Z, he did a concert maybe 3 years ago called the B-Sides, where he actually performed that song, live. So what was that like being around, not just Jay-Z, but, 50 Cent and like a lot of these different big time artists back in the day before they became household names? Could you tell at the time that they were going to eventually become who they are now?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because the talent was like that back then.
Okay.
You had locals, Children of the Corn, Big L, you had local people in New York. New York was hot. the hustle, the enthusiasm on artists. Cause remember back then it was no Instagram. It was no internet. It was none of that. So you worked hard. Everybody was always in the studio. Tupac, everybody. As soon as somebody came to town, everybody was in the studio together trying to get another hit single. So that was such a great era, because back then, Mad Wednesdays, artists came out of the woodwork.
And just for our listeners, what is Mad Wednesdays?
Mad Wednesdays is my showcase. It's a community movement, but it's also a platform for new artists to come and perform their music, to get better. Plus, I also had comedians like Mike Epps, Talent, Capone, Bill Bellamy, that also did my show, too. So it wasn't just limited to hip-hop artists. But and the very unique thing about Mad Wednesdays is I have a live band. HIV testing.
Right, and Ms. Davis, before we end this, some important dates that we want listeners to be aware of. I know we've actually missed this date by just a few days, but you was the National
HIV Testing Day.
Okay, and that was on June 27th, correct?
Yes, it was on June 27th, but HIV does not stop on holidays. So you need to get tested.
Ms. Davis, if listeners want to get in touch with you, are you on social media? Do you have a website or any type of way they could contact you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook, Maria Davis. You can find me on Instagram. It's Davis_Maria13. You can find me on Twitter, Maria Speaks to You. And if you have no social media, you can email me, Davis, D-A-V-I-S, Maria, M-A-R-I-A, at MSN.com. Or you can call me at 646-765-0689.
Right. Well, again, Ms. Davis, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, darling.
We end each show with a segment called Parting Shots. Here I give my thoughts on something happening in the news, pop culture, life in general that's piqued my interest. So, Ms. Davis gave us a lot of really good information. So please, everybody, take heed to what she was saying. Educate yourself. Be safe. This is a problem that's impacting not just poor cities here in America, but it's happening, in our wealthy metropolis areas. It's also impacting places around the world as well. There was an article I was reading on CNN's World page where they talked about a small community, a farming community in Pakistan, and they were saying how you had, in the past 2 months, 681 people, including 537 children between the ages of 2 and 12, tested positive for HIV. So, this is a really serious issue that's, still with us. It was, something that we heard about in the 1980s and 1990s quite a bit when it first broke. And now, as Ms. Davis was saying, we don't hear about it as much, but it's definitely still a very, very big issue. So, again, please listen to the advice that she was giving us, and that goes for everybody, and in particular, our young listeners. And that is our show for the week. Thanks again to our guests. We do this every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. Like us on Facebook and other forms of social media. A special shout out, as always, to Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv. Have a blessed day.
Listen to this or any past episode of UMES 30 by logging on to WESM913.org or through the NPR One app available for download on Google Play. UMES 30 is produced in the studios of 91.3 WESM, located on the campus of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. The views and opinions expressed on UMES 30 are not necessarily those of 91.3 WESM or the University of Maryland Eastern Shore.